Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. We welcome in now Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, host on 1250 AM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Steve, how are you?
I ain't in there, man. What's going on?
Oh, you know, the Saints are up there practicing against the Packers and having some skirmishes break out. I guess it was spirited the last couple of days, huh?
Yeah, apparently Jarvis Landry running his mouth, talking down to Eric Stokes. Stokes didn't want to hear it, and that started one of them, from what it sounds like.
That's Jarvis, though, Sparky. That's him as a player.
Correct, absolutely. And that's why, you know, he is who he is, and he's as good as he is. I would have loved to see him in Green Bay in free agency.
Hands off.
The Packers chose to get Sammy Watkins, who can't stay healthy. But either way. So, yeah, I mean, you knew when the Saints came in that this was a possibility that you're going to have fights. I mean, across the NFL, there's these skirmishes in all these training camps, you know, and you don't get to really play against anybody. Now you get to see these ones. Rodgers probably won't play in the preseason. So him having some time to play here is good. He needs to develop chemistry with his young receivers and his receiving core, and this is the best way to do it, I guess.
Sparky, I want to know from you, because you don't get to see the Saints every day, but we think pretty highly of that football team in particular because of their defense.
Yes.
Do you share that and what you've been able to watch the last couple of days?
I think the defense is really good. I haven't been able to get up there per se. I've got some other stuff going on in Milwaukee, but yeah, I think the defense is highly regarded. I think they were highly regarded at the end of last year by a majority of us that saw you guys play at the beginning of last year. I think you may disagree, but I think it just all comes down to quarterback play for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the quarterback plays really well and lives up to his hype that he's had since coming out of college and finally puts it all together, Saints can be a playoff team. If he doesn't, then you guys probably won't be a playoff team. I mean, I think it's just really that simple. And, you know, if you look at it from the Packers standpoint right now, I think everybody, at least here, that's expecting the Packers to be a top five defense somewhere in that area and think they're deep enough to be a top five defense. There's a lot of belief that maybe Aaron Rodgers might not throw the ball as much this year and they might focus more on running the ball more because of the young receiving core and so forth. And then because of the young receiving core, will one of those guys step up and do something? You know, Romeo Doubs is a guy that's had a big training camp making wild plays, made a big play in the preseason, but he also had a couple drops in the preseason game. And he's had a couple drops out this week as well. So you hope he works that out. Christian Watson, who was the first receiver they took in the second round that they traded up for, he's been hurt the whole training camp. Just came back to practice here recently, and we haven't really seen him yet in a preseason game as he works to get back to being physically healthy. So those are kind of, for the Packers' point of view, is what is this offense going to be, and how good can it be in order to kind of balance out what should be a really good defense.
Sparky, we got a report that the quarterbacks called a meeting with the wide receivers in Green Bay. What do you make of that?
Aaron Rodgers, what was it, yesterday or whatever? I think it was yesterday. I'm sorry, I mixed up on my dates, but I think it was yesterday. Was talking about the fact that, look, these wide receivers need to run the right routes and need to make the catches that they should be making, not dropping wide open balls. And he was mad about one specifically that he threw. He said it was the best ball he threw the whole day, and the receiver dropped it, and he was mad about it. And this right here, you know, I'm going to get off on a little bit of a tangent here, but this right here is what frustrates me and angers me to a certain degree, right? So you hear of other quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes has a whole new receiving corps damn near in Kansas City. He's working with these guys in the offseason before training camp on his own with these receivers, trying to build chemistry, trying to get everybody on the same page going forward. Did 12 do that? Nope. Haven't heard a peep out of 12 doing anything of the sort. 12 didn't even want to go to the OTAs. He went to the mandatory one, but outside of that. So, I mean, that's the type of stuff that drives me nuts when I hear, oh, we got training camp. We'll have it all figured out by week one. I don't need to play preseason games. We'll be good. And then they lay an egg against the Saints last year. And then Matt LaFleur after that game, after week one, goes, maybe we should reanalyze kind of playing starters in preseason one way or the other. And now they've said he's not playing against the Saints, but maybe there's an open possibility that he plays in the third preseason game. I think it's just a lot of frustration from Rodgers. And, you know, he doesn't want to have a bad year because he's not on the same page with his receivers. I mean, think about it. This dude doesn't throw double-digit interceptions. Imagine if he throws 12 to 15 interceptions, and of those 12 to 15, let's say it's three or four actually his fault and the rest are on the receivers for doing the wrong thing. That's going to be a big, big problem. And the first preseason game, Jordan Love threw three picks, two of which should have been caught by the receiver that went through their hands, bounced off shoulder pads, whatever. The third, he threw, I don't think was a good ball at all. And when they brought it up, LaFleur's like, we had two guys running the wrong route, including the guy that was on that route, and Jordan Love had to throw the ball, even though it was the wrong route. And then Rodgers went off about it the other day, too, about guys running wrong routes. This has to be figured out and quick and get everybody on the same page, because the one thing we know about 12 is if he don't get down with you, you aren't going to see the ball. He'll go somewhere else with somebody he trusts. So now you're talking about Lazard and Cobb for sure he trusts.
Well, he trusts Aaron Jones and A.G. Dillon. He trusts the running backs. I mean,
sure. And Aaron Jones, you know, everybody thinks that Aaron Jones and Dillon will be in the backfield. You'll see a lot of Aaron Jones splitting out the wide receiver. He'll probably lead the team in receptions, would be my guess, Aaron Jones. Dillon has caught the ball a lot so far early on, so maybe Dillon comes out of the backfield. But these young receivers that they just drafted, you know, you may not see a lot of looks for them if they don't figure it out.
Now, Sparky, the one thing I think is also a Packers Achilles heel, because I think both the Saints and the Packers are going to be a top five defense. I look, this might be the best Saints secondary in history when you go top to bottom. Now, what linebacker is going to complement DeMario Davis? But when I look at that, the one thing I know the Saints are head and shoulders above the Packers is on special teams. The Saints are
Everybody
amongst
is.
The best. Yeah. And you look at Green Bay, the 49ers game. Come on. Listen, yep. You can't have a block punt there. But I just look at even the return game. Like, for instance, you look at the Saints. We were like top 10 special teams in a number of categories where the Packers are in the bottom league. Do you think they've addressed that?
Oh, absolutely. They went and hired Rich Bisaccia, who was the interim coach for the Raiders. And not only did they hire him, they gave him input in the draft towards the second half of the draft and guys that he liked. And they gave him input in free agency. And they've got a couple of guys they brought over from the Raiders to add to it that I don't think are very good players on the defensive side of the ball necessarily. But they were brought over more for special teams because they were really good special teams for Bisaccia with the Raiders. So he's had some say. And to be frank, in years past, they never really cared about special teams. They were more concerned about offense and defense and really weren't necessarily drafting guys for what they could add to the special teams unit. And it really feels like there's been a far more concerted effort now to fix that than before.
Now, Sparky, I mean, to me, you know, we were trying to get Drew Brees one MVP. And I look at the Packers organization, and I brought this up. I mean, I don't know, are the Packers fans a little spoiled? Because what you demand when you consider the transition – going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he'll three-peat, probably not, but he's won back-to-back MVPs, giving him four in his career, and the only player to win three in a row was Brett Favre. Think how unlikely that is. I mean, do Packer fans realize what they've witnessed with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers?
Well, let me give you my perspective, which I think is what a majority of Packer fans think. And that is, if I told you, you'd have back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks spanning 30, 35 years, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And you would get to two Super Bowl appearances and then give you all the conference championship games between the two that you have reached and fail to get back. You know, is that good enough? Knowing you may never see another Hall of Fame quarterback the rest of your life. Right. You may never see another quarterback good enough to get you to a Super Bowl the rest of your life. And I think that's where the frustration lies. The frustration lies with Seattle, you know, where they blow that huge lead with 5 minutes to go in the game in the conference championship because Bostic, again, special teams, goes up for a ball that he was specifically told do not go for the ball under any circumstances. He does it anyhow. I mean, that's the type of stuff that angers fans and gets mad at Mike McCarthy over the course of time for not being able to get him back. And it's not on Rodgers necessarily a lot of the angst. A lot of the angst is on the coaching staff or the lack of defense that they've had in the playoffs of costing them games. And that's kind of where it all is, because I think Packer fans realize that, you know, Jordan Love probably is not a Hall of Famer. If Jordan Love is average, I think Packer fans would be like, okay, well, our defense hopefully will be good enough to carry that. But to expect three Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row, I mean, come on. There's absolutely no chance. That's probably going to happen. So they know the window is closing, and they may never get to see another Super Bowl the rest of their life, and they want one more.
Sparky, how much has been talked about that Taysom Hill was once in that camp, in that organization with Green Bay?
So Taysom Hill leaves, Packer fans angry for the first couple of years. Now it's resulted in Packer fans laughing at the Saints organization, wondering if he had pictures on Sean Payton for giving him the amount of lunacy money that they've paid him over the course of time. So it went from, man, I can't believe we don't have them, to what in the world is going on over there? Who's got pictures on who to pay that man that much money?
Yeah, but I mean, the value, considering what he's capable of as a weapon, I think that it's money well spent.
Well,
regardless if he's playing quarterback, or what role he's playing.
But Christian, I agree with Sparky that if he's available,
sure,
he can't be hurt like he was hurt at BYU.
That applies to anybody.
No, but like he was hurt at BYU, I'll tell you, if he could get and Sparky, watch, they're going to try and utilize him instead of 12 snaps a game. Watch if he don't have like 30 plus, maybe 12 times three, because you know you get 65 snaps. That's kind of where you're at. It could be over that, a little bit under. You want, but yeah, that's 65. Watch if Taysom's not on in on half of them. And
okay,
he,
so this is the thing, right? So real quick. So, okay, you had a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. To me, pulling a Hall of Fame quarterback off the field for a trickster or one-trick pony, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to say he is, to go in there seemed like crazy. Like, if you took Aaron Rodgers off the field for that, I would lose my mind. I would scream for somebody to be fired. Like, that's crazy. Now you've got a different quarterback. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's nowhere close to being a Hall of Famer as of now. So now when you do it, okay, fine. Like, all right, you know, it's a change of pace. You're trying to figure out how to get the ball in the end zone, in the red zone, or wherever. Okay, that I understand. I think a majority of the issue that a lot of people had with this whole Taysom Hill thing was, you had a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you're messing around with Taysom Hill under quarterback with a chance to score a touchdown. Did it work sometimes? Yeah, it worked sometimes. But I don't know if it worked enough to justify the pay.
Well, the thing is, no, justify the pay when you – no, that's why I'm saying, well, what is he bitching about? He should be, man, he's getting paid handsomely well. I'll do whatever the Saints want me to do. I don't have to be a pure quarterback.
Sure.
And that the one game, Spark, I can tell you where it worked, and it was against Belichick. We ran this power quarterback off-tackle play, and it was like the Patriots knew was coming. It was still like 7-8 yards a pop. That's when it's frustrating. You're at the NFL level, and they know what you're going to do, and you still can't stop it. So I know that that play is still in the playbook. You could still see Taysom at quarterback, and then maybe they're putting everybody in the box. And I think he could throw accurately enough to make a play there and help out Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton, whoever might be in there. But he's well compensated, to say the least, like I think a lot of Packer fans and yourself. It's not like we're getting him on the cheap. So we need him to produce at a high level.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's all part of it. But, yeah, again, when you talk about the Saints, you know, you get Thomas back. Kamara hopefully stays healthy for y'all. And then it just comes back to how good is the quarterback, like we said at the beginning of the interview. You know, if he's really good and plays at a high level, then you're definitely a playoff team, and maybe you make some noise once you get to the playoffs if everybody can stay healthy with him. And it's crazy that all that pressure is on one player, but I feel like that's where it's at.
Yeah, Sparky, I agree. Because I think, and listen, I don't know, you might think I'm crazy, but I think the way this team is structured and the supporting cast, whether it's Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton, I think the Saints can win 10 games. I think they're a double-digit team. I don't know if they're going – that's not a Super Bowl team, but they could still be in the postseason. And the one thing I've brought up to fans – okay, who do you perceive as the best in the NFC? Obviously, the Rams, they're trying to repeat. Then you look at Green Bay. They got Aaron Rodgers. Tampa Bay has Tom Brady, okay? We played Tampa Bay twice last year and played Green Bay. Not 2-3 years ago, but last year. In those three games, the Saints are 3-0. They crushed Green Bay and they beat Tampa Bay twice. probably one of the most unusual games ever. Sparky, you probably are watching this. Primetime Sunday Night Football. The Saints win 9-0 against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. Listen, Tom Brady hates to play the Saints. We've given him the business with the pass rush, and he cannot stand it. Now they're all hurting in the interior line. I'm telling you, we played them week two. Watch, I think we're going to get after Tom Brady. We've been his Achilles heel. You might say, oh, well, he beat y'all in the postseason. No, we had four turnovers. He threw for like 180-something yards. Tom Brady didn't beat us. So we still in Tom Brady's head, even as great as the GOAT is.
It'll be interesting to see, and you bring up Brady and the Buccaneers, it'll be interesting to see what that offense looks like now that Brady got Arians booted out of there. What that offense really looks like and the offense that maybe Brady wanted to run to begin with or a variation of how he wanted to run it going forward. I'm anxious to see that. But you're right about the Saints having the Buccaneers number. We've talked about that numerous times about it. Sometimes one team might have another team's number regardless of records, and they just have that advantage and have that feel for how to beat the other team. And the Saints definitely have had that, no question.
Now, Sparky, I know Packer Nation's thinking this way, and you brought it up. How your team is structured, considering, you know, to have Hall of Fame quarterbacks continuously. I mean, I don't know if that's realistic, but dominant defense. And I was reading this, that this caught my attention. Green Bay has had a top five defense only five times in the past 30 years. So you're talking about three decades. And two of those seasons, 96 and 2010, the Packers won the Super Bowl. Yep. So isn't Packer fans saying, well, I don't know, we've done it before. We won the Super Bowl when we've had a top five defense. Is that kind of the goal, you think, in their mind right now?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think, and it's weird, man, having Aaron Rodgers and talking about how the defense is going to go win you a championship.
Right.
But, I mean, that's kind of the feel right now. Like, Rashawn Gary looks like he's a beast as a pass rusher. This Quay Walker kid they got from Georgia looks like he's got a potential to be an absolute stud next to, you know, an all-pro, Navandre Campbell, who they picked up in free agency last year and signed a long-term deal. If he plays at that level again, they're good. Kenny Clark, obviously, a Pro Bowl-type player in the middle of the defensive line, and then their secondary is really good. You know, the corners are really good with Alexander. Rasul Douglas plays well. Stokes is a young up-and-comer. He's got some swag to him. With Amos and Savage, they need to play Savage probably closer to the line of scrimmage than they have, but outside of that, I don't think there's many complaints you can have about that defense with everything that they can do. But, yeah, I think going into this, it's just going to be what is the offense going to look like? Like, are they actually going to run it more than they have in the past? Are they actually going to tell Rodgers you're not going to throw as much? Will Rodgers actually listen to that
right. And
not audible out of 100 run plays to throw the football? See, that's my question. Like, I'm finding it hard to believe that dude's not going to throw the ball 35 or 40 times a game. Like, I'm struggling to buy into the fact that this is actually going to happen. So if it happens and it works, I'll be ecstatic. I just can't see it. And if it doesn't happen and he does throw 35 or 40 times and these receivers are doing bonehead things and it's costing them turnovers, how long will it last before somebody says something or he says something publicly and then the whole thing unravels on him? So that's, to me, it's all about this offense and what it's going to look like when the season starts.
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host on 1250 AM The Fan in Milwaukee. Steve, thank you.
Hey, man, no problem. Always fun.
All right, thank you, Sparky.
All right, we'll step away and get back to the sound from Saints training camp. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.